Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we're continuing our program where we have recorded a conversation with Jehovah's Witnesses in the Denver, Colorado area. And they did not know that they were being recorded, but in our state, we're a one-party state. That means that if you are a party to a conversation, you are allowed to make a recording of it, and that is as it should be. So, as we continue, I'd like to remind you that if you go to our website, kgov.com/cults, or specifically, kgov.com/JWs, JWS, you'll find some scans of this book from 1921, published by the Jehovah's Witnesses, which claims on the cover that millions now living will never die. That is an indication that the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society in Brooklyn, New York, is actually a publishing house of a false prophet, so to speak. The Bible says when someone claims to be a prophet and tells you what the future will hold, when that does not come to pass, you are to consider that person or that organization a false prophet, guilty of false teaching. So remembering that, now let's join in progress our discussion with local Jehovah's Witnesses.
All other things in heaven and on earth were created. He is the second greatest personage in the universe. It is this Son whom Jehovah sent to the earth to give his life as a ransom for mankind, thus opening the way to eternal life for those of Adam's offspring who would exercise faith. This same Son, restored to heavenly glory, now rules as King with authority to destroy all the wicked and to carry out his Father's original purpose for the earth. The Hebrew form of the name Jesus means, what does it mean?
Jehovah's salvation.
Yeah. It means Jehovah is salvation. And then, of course, Christ is the equivalent of the Hebrew Mashiach or Messiah, and that means anointed one. Hebrew is Messiah, and Greek is Christ. So we feel from the scriptures that it's clear that Jesus is Jehovah's only direct creation. We don't minimize the value of him.
Well, of course you do. If he's the eternal God, you have a blasphemous...
If he is, then
would you agree you have a blasphemous view of him? If he is the creator God.
And if he's not, would you agree that you have a blasphemous view?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A difference is that the founders of the Jehovah's Witness were false prophets, they cannot be trusted, whereas Christ's words can be trusted.
Well, so you're going back to that, but we just want to discuss the facts that we see in
the Bible. You're following false prophets who are demonstrably false prophets.
Let me say one thing. Catholic teachings that were introduced centuries after the death of Christ, that were formulated and introduced.
Jesus was worshipped as God from the beginning.
No, he not.
In the New Testament, they fall down on their faces. They worship him, and he receives their worship. An angel immediately rejects worship. Jesus receives worship.
It's not obeisance, it's worship. Let me just say this real quick. If Jesus created all things, how could he have created himself?
He created all other things. Jehovah created Jesus, and together they created all of the things.
But the Bible says that he created all things.
Why does it say...
In John 1:1 and Isaiah, it says, I'm Jehovah, I alone am the Savior. I alone am the creator.
John 1:1 is a whole other issue.
It's not. It's the same issue. It's mirrored after Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens
and the earth. Show me a single phrase in the Bible where it says, Jesus is God the Son. Show me in your Bible. No, it's clear.
Yeah.
If you're saying that he is God the Son, show me where it says it.
Well, yeah, it says, as I just quoted for you in the Greek and in the English, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh.
It doesn't say that.
And he created all things.
It doesn't say
It that. Doesn't say a God. That's a false translation.
No, that's not by a false translation.
Charles Russell claimed to know Greek. He could, on the stand...
I don't know about Charles Russell.
On the witness stand in court, he couldn't repeat the Greek alphabet. He's a false witness.
Well,
you guys are rejecting the thrust of the message of Jesus, that it's all about him, and you're accepting false prophets.
Show me in the Bible where it says God the Son.
Well,
show me in the Bible
it doesn't use that phrase.
Ever.
It doesn't
really?
Use
but
the phrase the Bible.
But that's an important thing.
It speaks of the plurality in the Godhead in the first verse, right? In the first verse of the Bible, the plurality of the Godhead.
No, it doesn't.
Well, let me...
It doesn't. In fact, the term...
Let me quote it for you.
The term Godhead is a Trinitarian term.
Let me...
Godship is a word. But
let me quote it for you. You know
it. In the beginning was the word...
Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The verb created is a singular verb. The noun Elohim is the plural noun for God. El, and the duality Elah, and the plurality Elohim. In the beginning, the plurality, Elohim, he created. There's a plurality in the Godhead acting as a singular being. Then we get, let us create man in our image, in our likeness, because God, the first thing...
Well, actually it says, let us make, in the Hebrew. Let us make.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
No, you said, let us create.
Oh, well, you're correct.
It says, let us make.
You're correct. They're both used interchangeably through Genesis 1.
When he's talking about, when he's saying let us, he uses the Hebrew term make. When he's talking singularly, he uses the term create. Yes, when we speak of Almighty God, there's a, and I'm not going to say it's the same as, but have you ever seen royalty say, speaking of themselves individually, we?
That
we
comes from
this.
Genesis 1. The origin of the royal we is Genesis 1, because God speaks, let us make man, because Elohim is the plural verb, is the plural noun for God.
Absolutely.
And the singular verb. So there's either a grammatical error in the first verse of the Bible, or God wants us to know there's a plurality in the Godhead. When we get to the Hebrew prayer, the Shema, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, Hebrew has one of unity and one of plurality. Like the two became one flesh. Mm-hmm. That's their noun, the one of plurality. All the people spoke with one voice. Mm-hmm. That's the Hebrew word one of plurality. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Which Hebrew word is that? It's the one of plurality, like the two became one and the people are one.
No, I don't disagree with you.
So there's a plurality.
What I'm saying is, what does the plurality represent?
The Godhead.
The plurality represents the magnificence of God. There's nothing. It says, holy, holy. It's representing the magnificence of God. It's not representing a multiplying Godhead. Well,
the magnificence of God is in his triune nature. Let me give you a biblical defense of that. If God were a Unitarian God, like Allah, if he were...
Which the Jews understood.
Yes.
The Jews don't understand the plurality of
a
Godhead.
You're exactly right.
That's right.
If he were...
Yes.
He could not know whether he was holy or evil, because as Jesus said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not valid, because you need two or three witnesses to confirm a matter. So the Father has the eternal testimony of the Son, that the Father has never wronged the Son. The Son has the testimony from the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit does. Whereas Allah, if he existed for eternity past, if he were real, mm-hmm. he could not know if he were evil, and he wants people to kill their children, sacrifice their children for him because he's evil, or if he's good. He couldn't know. So Jesus said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not valid because it's two or three witnesses that establish a matter. Two or three. Mm-hmm. And that is true in every conceivable way. And it's true because the triune God has existed for eternity past. And he could establish his righteousness.
So the whole concept... You gave us a biblical reference, but you didn't share...
John chapter 5. No, I did. I was quoting the verses. You don't always say the verses when you're quoting it.
In that case, did you bring a Bible with you?
Yeah, I did. I have two. I have one here.
So can we take a look at John chapter 5, actually?
Yeah, sure.
See what Jesus said there?
Yeah, you could start reading it. I know the passage.
I'm there.
Okay. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's a subservient position.
Yeah, it is.
He was incarnate.
He submitted himself to the Father. In Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't have to do that. He had a will. He could choose to refuse.
How could he have a will that was separate from the Father's?
Because there are three persons in one Godhead. So let us make man in our image.
They're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent.
But they're three persons. They're three persons.
I can't mentally grasp that quote mystery.
But we can't grasp light. Light is a wave and it's a particle.
But the Bible,
it's a duality.
States, the Bible never says they're co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. Any place in the scriptures, mm-hmm. anywhere where it says there's a Trinity, there's a Godhead, they're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. No, that's
well. Jesus is said to be in the Revelation, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. When Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, right, in Colossians, the first thing that God made before he made the heavens and the earth, he created an image for his son to indwell, so that when he created mankind, walk in the cool of the garden with them. So an image is actually, you could draw an image. In my image and in my likeness, image is like icon. It's actually an image.
I don't see that in the scriptures. I see you explaining that.
Yeah.
But that's extraneous to what the scripture... You're saying that's what happened.
Well,
but the Bible doesn't say that.
Well,
that's your explanation of the... From a Trinitarian
concept,
you're importing what's happening.
Yeah.
Here's what the scripture says.
Well, in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man
in our image
and our likeness.
Sure.
So that God had an image that he made us in. But God is a spirit. A spirit doesn't have an image. So first God created an image to make mankind in.
And you're saying a physical image?
The image of a head and a torso, arms and legs.
I don't agree with that.
Well, the animals...
I think the image that he created was the ability to think, to worship.
That's
God,
the likeness. We're morally sentient beings that were made in God's likeness. But the image is a form. And so the animals that God made, they all have an earthly gaze. You know, he made man to stand upright. Mm-hmm. And we have a heavenly gaze. And this image of a man, God likes it. It was the pinnacle of his creation. And then Jesus Christ indwelt.
His earthly creation, yes.
Well, even of the angels.
Well, do you say the angels have a physical...
They have image, they're spirits, but they have images. God made an image. And when God walked in the cool of the garden... When God appeared to Abraham, he took upon himself an image. It's the image that he created, that he loves this image. And so we're made after his image and his likeness, but because he's a spirit, he could not have eternally had an image. He didn't have a shape to him. But we're made in his image because he created an image to make us in. So you're right. The Bible doesn't say that explicitly, but it's overwhelmingly implied. Because God is spirit, and the spirit doesn't have an image.
I don't agree that the image has to be a physical image. Mm. I mean, I don't agree with
so,
that.
Well,
you say it's overwhelmingly implied.
Well,
I mean, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't see that it's overwhelmingly implied.
Well, if the word image means, if let's say we study the image and the likeness, and we find that the image means the form. If we find that the image means the form and not the content of our characters.
Well, we don't find that the image necessarily means the form. That's how...
Well, Jesus quoted the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. The Septuagint uses the Greek word for image, icon.
I agree.
And it comes across exactly in the Hebrew as it does in the Greek, that we are made in God's likeness. We're moral, sentient beings. We're self-aware. And we are made in His image.
And we're able to worship God. And I agree, agree with
that. That's the likeness. The image is His image. And so don't make an image, don't take metals, gold and silver, and make an image to worship. So they would make a form and they'd worship.
How could he be in God's image if Almighty God
had none?
Had none.
Because God created an image for his son to indwell and for us to be created.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. God was not an image. So when he says he's created in an image, he's not talking in a physical sense. He's not talking about some physical form. He's talking about the concepts, what he's like.
When Jehovah appeared to Abraham, and he had an angel appear.
Yeah.
Well, it says Jehovah.
It
says the Tetragrammaton.
Sure.
That Jehovah on earth called down fire from Jehovah in heaven. And when he appeared to Abraham, he appeared in this image as a man that he created.
Yeah, you think it was actually Jehovah that appeared?
It was Jehovah because Jesus is Jehovah. And so that's why it'll use the name Jehovah for God the Son, the Christophany, Jesus walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, Jesus appearing to Abraham, and he could be called Jehovah because he is Jehovah. In Isaiah, I alone created. No one, only Jehovah. I alone am the Savior. No one. Yet Jesus is the Creator in the New Testament, and he's the Savior.
No, he's... all things were created through him, by him, and for him. There would be no need to make that statement if Jesus was the Creator and he was Almighty God. Make no sense. What do you mean through him? What do you mean by him?
Well, because the Father wanted the Son to do the creating. The Father willed it and the Son willed it, but the creation came through the Son.
In Hebrews it says that, Hebrews 1:8-9 says, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. This is what God the Father is telling his Son. Mm-hmm. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness.
So, where are we now?
Hebrews 1, 8, and 9.
So, let me ask you, if you were going to use a family relationship to describe two people that were equal, what relationship might you use?
Siblings.
Right, maybe even identical twins.
Yeah.
But that's not what Jesus used.
The Father and the Son.
He was the greatest teacher who ever lived.
Yes.
So if you and I can come up with a relationship that more closely describe that, surely Jesus would have done that.
Yeah. That's a great thought, Jake, except that humility is the greatness of the Son. The fact that he humbles himself is his greatness.
Doesn't that mean he's not equal
to the Father? The greatness of the Father as well.
Well, that's a good point.
It is.
But the Son humbles himself and submits to the Father. That doesn't diminish him. That exalts him. And so it's a good point you're making, but it doesn't trump the Lord telling us that we need to live in him and he will live in us.
And why do we do that? See, Jesus was
in him.
Let me explain. Here's Jehovah. He's existed. He has no beginning. He has no end. No beginning. No, he's always existed. At some point in time,
that's true.
At some point in time, Bob, he decides that he is going to create.
That's true.
He creates, and let me follow through with this, he creates the firstborn of creation, born being a beginning, the firstborn of creation, as Colossians refers to Jesus, he creates him. They're together for, I don't know how long, billions of years, trillions of years, they're together. Jesus is just like his Father. They're together for eons. And at some point then, they decide to create. And Jehovah says, this is my, I created you, we're going to create everything together. Jehovah is the creator, Jesus is the master worker. We don't diminish his value. He is the second greatest personage in the universe. There's no question about it. So we don't diminish his value at all. So they begin to create. They create.
Well, you do diminish his value. If he's not an eternal being, if you say he's not and he is, you diminish.
He has a beginning. We see it in John 1:1. What's the first... Oh. The first three words of John 1:1.
It's modeled after Genesis. In the beginning, God. It doesn't mean God has a beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Just even look at the phrasing there.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to it in a second. So they create the angels, and then they begin to create the physical universe.
Well, Jesus created the angels, right?
Jehovah created them. Jehovah and Jesus together. Jesus as a master worker. Jehovah is the creator. Jesus is his master worker. They're there together. They're identical. If you see Christ, the way he conducts himself when he was here on earth, it's as though you see the Father. He's just like his Father. He's a mirror image, to use your phrase.
Tom,
I'm not speaking physically.
Could I ask you, you said that God created the Son eons before and then they created it.
Just the two of them.
How does that compare to in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, where God says that in 6 days I created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them? Seems like a very sweeping, the scope of it.
It is.
All the creation I did in 6 days.
Yeah, do you think it was a literal 24-hour day?
Yes.
I don't.
Well,
let's say it was
longer than 24 hours.
I'd say they're creative days.
Right.
We know from science... We're not creationists in the sense that happened. What happened to the seventh day? At the end of each day, what happened?
Yeah, the seventh day.
It was good.
God ceased from his labor.
At the end of each sixth day.
Oh, it was very good after the seventh day. Not the second day. The second day didn't say it was good.
The seventh day is
good. Did you know that? After the second day, it doesn't say it was good. Because in the second day, God made the firmament. The crust of the earth above the waters below that were used in the global flood. And that firmament, the dry land appeared on the third day. And so that's why he postponed saying it is good until that was completed.
So you think in the sixth day, that all the dinosaurs, the animals, everything was all created in a 24-hour period?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, but, you know about...
But I don't want to go there yet.
It's so fun. You know about dinosaur soft tissue. Maybe you don't. I don't know if you do.
But you're talking 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then
God is really...
He names all the animals
he's,
and all
he's
that.
He's fast.
No. What we're talking about is a creative day. It can be a great length of time. And that's where... The age of the earth and all of those things, scientists can prove.
Tom, this is from the journal Science, second leading. Those blood vessels and blood cells are from a T-Rex. Mm-hmm. They have been publishing all over the world, digging up, breaking open their dinosaur bones in museums and finding soft tissue identical to what we find in Egyptian mummies. They're mostly decomposed, but there's still protein. They got DNA from a hadrosaur and a T-Rex.
I don't deny that.
Because the dinosaurs are only thousands of years old, just like the Egyptian mummies. So the Bible's chronology, we could accept it literally from the first day of creation through man on the sixth day, was less than 10,000 years ago.
Oh, I agree. I agree from man's creation.
No, from Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth on the first day. By the sixth day, made man. And in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, God says that in 6 days I created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. And Jesus said, Jesus said about that. He said he made man, us, male and female, at the beginning of creation. He said in Mark and Luke, in the beginning of the creation, I made them male and female. Not after eons. Not after millions of years.
This is a whole other subject, and I'd enjoy discussing that with
yeah.
you. Yeah. I think that what we're looking at is creative days, and that harmonizes with science. I don't think whether it was 24 hours or not is the main issue, but I think we see creative days.
Science says the sun and the stars came before the earth. Genesis says, which Jesus affirmed, Genesis more than any book in the Bible, that the earth came before the sun and the stars. Science has the plants and animal life in wrong order. The Bible says that fish were created on day 5 and plants on day 3. Science does the opposite. So science takes the creation.
I think science is mixed up. There's no question. I think evolution is mixed up. I think the order, the sequence that's presented there is really what the geological is what shows in geology. But we'll discuss this another time, because I would enjoy that discussion. As far as Jesus, we see the name, the divine name, removed from the scriptures. We don't see the name Jehovah used. Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, his name isn't God. That's what he is. What's the Father's personal name? The Son has a personal name. What's the Father's personal name?
Well, Jehovah is also used for the Son, but
it's
Jehovah.
It's not used for the Son.
In the Sodom and Gomorrah passage, it is.
But no, it's not used.
Well, Jehovah on earth called down fire and brimstone from Jehovah in heaven. It's used for the Son.
He has his angelic representatives on the earth.
So there's angels that are called Jehovah? Why do the angels be called Jehovah?
Angels that are representatives of Jehovah. He sends them down. He doesn't form, materialize. He doesn't actually materialize himself. Jehovah is the creator of the universe. I mean, it is true that with Jesus, when Jesus agreed after they sinned, now we see that something has to happen. Jesus agreed to come and pay back what Adam lost.
Yeah.
So he took, Jehovah then took his life force, implanted that in Mary's womb. His Holy Spirit, which is God's active force, overshadowed that and protected him. Satan would have destroyed the child. He would have destroyed the child in Mary's womb. He would have destroyed him as he's growing up. He would have killed him. He tried to kill him. You know, he sent this, this star, and he has these astrologers coming. Where do they go? They go to Herod. Ooh, Herod wanted to kill him. God wouldn't do that.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob Benyar interrupting my own program. So with our next show, we plan to conclude this very special presentation when I had the opportunity to speak with two Jehovah's Witnesses at one of our listeners' homes. So we hope you tune in. We hope you find it as enjoyable and valuable as we do. And you can find all this at our website, kgov.com/cults. May God bless you.